Welcome to Witchful Thinking, a podcast all about being a witchy woman in the modern world we live in. Each week, you can listen to these two witches banter about witchcraft, spell work, current events, intuitive wellness, spirituality, astrology, tarot, and much more. Our goal here on Witchful Thinking is to create content that informs and centers our listeners and helps them look at the world around them in a much more meaningful, magical way. Thanks so much for tuning in, and be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram for daily updates.
Hey guys, before we jump into this episode where we have our wonderful, lovely Sierra Vandervoort on the show again for the third time, I just wanted to quickly kind of give like an apology. As hard as Liz and I have tried to stay consistent with posting this year, the whole 3 months we're into it, oh my god, it's been kind of difficult because of work, honestly. And, you know, as much as I would love for like my podcast to be my full-time job, it's definitely not. And just like a lot of work goes into not only producing the show, but like pushing it out on social media and stuff. And honestly, like, it just gets really tiring. So I just want you guys to know that we're not, you know, like, purposefully neglecting this beautiful community. We are just really busy and exhausted and trying our hardest, and I really just appreciate everyone's patience and support and love. Like, every time an episode does come out, you guys are always right there commenting the Easter egg and all that good stuff on our Instagram. So thank you guys for all of your support. You're incredible. You're amazing. We love you all. And this is a very interesting time in our lives. It's very like adult and just crazy. Okay. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed this episode. It was going to be like a Galentine's Day episode, but when you have three people who are in three different time zones, it gets kind of hard to coordinate a time, especially when all three of you have your Instagram notifications off and you are shit at communicating with each other. So it ended up kind of just being like a kickback sesh, and it's really fun. And as always, of course, check out Sierra's page. She is at The Local Mystic on Instagram. I'll have everything linked in the episode description, but for sure, go check her out. She's a really cool person, and there's a reason that we keep inviting her back to the show, because she's amazing, and she's funny, and she fits the vibe, okay? She's an amazing witchy little yoga master, okay? Okay, I'm done. All right. Fucking enjoy the show, guys.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Witchful Thinking Podcast. We have a special guest with us today, someone that is coming back, and we are so happy to have her. And we are still recording our Galentine's Day episode. Even though it's not Valentine's Day anymore. You know what? All of February is Galentine's Day. So.
Oh, yeah.
We're rocking and rolling with it.
Exactly. We're here. We're queer. We are not drinking beer. I was going to actually have wine for this episode. I forgot.
Yeah. Oh, that was a great
idea. Totally forgot. But yeah, this is Sierra's third time on the show. So we had her on last year. I think we had her on the year before. And now she's back because, like, who are we to break tradition, you know?
It is a tradition now. I'm third time's a charm. I adore being here. So I'm happy to be back.
Well, you know that we love you, and I am so incredibly sorry for the scheduling mishap. It's kind of difficult scheduling three different time zones, but we make it work.
We yeah. are in three different time zones. Yeah. And I'm going on vacation, and I'm going to be in Lord knows what time zone. I don't even know. I should probably look.
Probably for work. Well, no, you're not working while you're there, are you?
No, it is a total vacation. Okay. Vacation. Yeah, when I went to California over Christmas, I was working, but I mean, you know, I work like 4 hours a day. So I just worked in the morning and I got to enjoy California in the afternoon and in the evening. But this is going to be laying out on the beach, do not disturb, for an entire week.
As it damn well should be. You deserve it.
I'm so excited. This is like the first vacation that I've taken since before the pandemic. I mean, I get to go to Virginia all the time, and I get to see Brooke because my job has a really cool perk, and I love going back home. But I think the last time I went like somewhere that wasn't home was before the pandemic. So, all right, well, okay, and then Christmas, California. But I
Yeah,
am.
I feel like a lot of the trips that I end up taking are just like going back home for a holiday or for a graduation or a birthday or something. It's like the actual vacations are few and far in between. It's always there's always like some sort of agenda or work or thing that I feel like I'm doing in my trips.
Yeah. And I had a passport fiasco, you guys. It is a long story, but to sum it up, I'm a procrastinator and I forgot to renew my passport, which I need to leave the country until last minute. But I paid for like all the expedited stuff. And it said I was going to have my passport 3 weeks before I left. And I was like, okay, we're good. No, it never arrived. And I had to go through a private service and pay a ass load of money. But they did it. They got it in my hands today. And I leave for vacation tomorrow. And I was so anxious about it, I almost threw up last night.
Goodbye by the skin of your teeth.
By the skin of my teeth. I'm good for another 10 years, so
Woo!
I can rest easy.
Dude, speaking of 10 years, I still need to get my passport because that is something I've been trying to do since last summer. And I just like really hate the post office because they're so fucking mean. And I don't want to go in there and get my picture taken because they're so fucking mean.
Oh, don't get your picture taken at, no, do it yourself.
Can you just do it when you come next month, please?
Yes.
Okay.
So I read the web because I also thought I'm gonna have to go to the DMV and get or Walgreens and they're gonna take a hideous picture of me and I'm gonna pay money for this hideous picture of me to live on a passport for 10 years. Which let me show you, Sierra. Let me show
Do I
you.
get to see the photo? Yes.
So I will show you. This is my original passport from when I was. How old was I? This was in 2012. So I was like 15, 16. This
Yeah.
is really embarrassing.
That's how old I was when I got my first one, too. Oh, look
I'm an actual baby.
at you.
I'm an infant.
I know. And then we end up looking nothing like this. We get to keep those passports for like 10 years. And then it's 10 years later. And I'm like, this is a different human.
Like, if you let me into another country with this picture,
Right.
like, this could not be me. But, I got to do, luckily, I looked good that day. But, I could have done my hair and my makeup and made it look all nice and cute. Yeah, just, I'll do it for you, bro. You do not pay for a ugly photo to go in your passport. Don't do
I love when Liz just fixes things.
it. I have the life hacks.
It's just like, girl, I'm
The
gonna put a drop shadow behind you. I'll, face tune some stuff for you. She's got
Oh
the whole package.
yeah. We're gonna add some like lighting, make your highlighter pop. You are not getting a 10-year passport with an ugly picture. If you go to Walgreens, it's like one take. And you're like, can I see it? No.
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 Fuck you guys. She's
Yeah.
like, I'm not taking another picture. This is the one that you get.
Yeah, seriously. And that was news to me, which worked out in my favor because I didn't have time to go to Walgreens. In order for this passport to be in my hands right now, going through this private service, I had 2 hours when I called them because it was so last minute. And they're like, if you want this passport the day before your trip, all of your documentation needs to be in the mail in 2 hours before FedEx closes. And I was like, fuck. But you know what?
You did
Know
it.
what? We did it.
You did it.
You did it, and you should be proud of yourself because the only other thing that I can like compare that type of stress to is like when you're in college and you realize last minute that you need like a class to graduate or else like you're fucked. And you're like running everywhere to the registrar's office and like acting all crazy and freaking out and crying and like talking to the they're sending the dean emails and like the head of the department like, please help me.
Please let me in. I was a crazy lady in the parking lot, in the FedEx parking lot, because, well, first of all, I fucked up something on the paperwork. And the service, the private company was like, oh, no, you fucked up. I was like, well, I can't fix it. FedEx is closed and I've already dropped it off. And they're like, well, you're not getting your passport. And I was like, fuck yeah, yes, I am. So I went back to FedEx and the express dude was in the parking lot loading up the truck, and I was like, please don't leave. So yeah, sometimes you gotta be the crazy lady. Sometimes you gotta do it.
Dude, one
I
time
mean,
I chased down a FedEx person to get my extensions out of the back of their car. Truck.
wait, please, not extensions that you were wearing at the time. I'm
No, I was just
envisioning
like,
like your hair got caught in the truck of a UPS thing and you're like running along with it.
no. It
Oh
was just
my
like
God. Let's do.
I ordered extensions in college. When I used to straighten my hair all the time, and they were like really expensive, and I really, really wanted them like on time, but I had to like go to work, and I knew because the package was like insured, they weren't gonna just leave it at the door. So I tracked down the FedEx truck in Harrisonburg, and I chased it down, and I ran up to the driver, and I was like, "Can I please get my package out of the back of your truck?" Look, my hair came does come before anything, came before anything, come before anything. I do not apologize.
I was ready to track a FedEx truck down and be like, bruh, my package is in there and I need that, because it was supposed to be delivered by noon today. And noon had come, and it's like a blizzard outside. And I was like, oh no, this truck better deliver my shit. And it was noon and it still wasn't delivered. And I was like, oh my God, I'm about to blow my shit. And then it was delivered at like 2 p.m. So it was only like 2 hours late. But I would have tracked down that truck and that driver, and I would have gotten this shit out of the truck.
I have no doubt that you would. I have full faith in your crazy.
So do I. And I knew that this would be in my hands tonight. So,
Said I'm
and now that
fucking
first
going.
margarita is gonna taste so much better because of all the work you had to go through to get there.
Oh my God. Extra salt on the rim, please.
Extra salt.
Oh, speaking of which, guys, when we are recording, it's National Margarita Day.
No
What?
fucking way.
Yes, it is. And I know this because I work in social media and I have to know all these stupid fucking holidays.
Yeah. Why do we not have margaritas? Oh.
Tequila makes me really sick. Otherwise, I would have something.
Maybe I'll, you know what? I am going to get myself a Topo Chico.
Ooh,
I'll
girl.
get you some, bitch.
I said, I ain't got no tequila, but let me get me some sparkle water.
Yeah, I don't have tequila. Some ASMR.
Ooh, that was fucking nice.
I fucking love Topo Chicos. It's probably my favorite hard seltzer.
Ooh, oh, okay, it is booze. I just thought you were like so excited for like just your sparkle water when we were talking about margaritas. I was like, all right, Zach, I guess you got what you got.
Got it.
Yeah,
Oh
for a second I was like, wait, does she like not know what those are?
no, I
Oh.
did. There's so many now, dude. I don't freaking know. I
I
still
think
drink like PBR when I go out, honestly. I'm that kind of a trash girl.
I really, really like hard seltzers a lot, and ciders. I hate beer. I hate it so much. It all tastes very bad. If I am being forced to drink a beer, which I don't know why I would ever be forced to drink a beer, it would be a Blue Moon. Otherwise, I can't. I hate them so much.
Yeah. Blue Moons are good. There's a lot of really good sours, too. If you ever had, like, sour beers, those kind of are nice because they taste more like kombucha. They're very, like, tart, and I like those a lot if I actually want to, like, taste something good. My main thing is that I'm just, like, on a budget, and I grew up drinking PBR in college, so now I'm so used to it, it doesn't even bother me. So I ain't going to argue with $2.50 for a drink, so that's usually where, where I am.
And there's so many micro breweries and regular breweries in the Denver area. I think actually we have the most microbreweries in the country, and they have like brewery degrees at college out here. Did that sentence make sense? In school, they have higher education.
Like mixologist.
It's called like brewery. Yeah, maybe brewery mixology. It's a degree that is for like entrepreneur people who want to specifically open a brewery. And I go to breweries all the time with my friends, and I always get a sour because they don't have ciders or hard seltzers or anything that tastes good. So I always get a sour.
Yeah, you can do a lot of cool stuff with those brewery degrees. I have a buddy, he used to work at a brewery in New Orleans there when I lived there, and now he like moved to Germany to help someone run a brewery there, and he's not even in Germany anymore. Now he's in some country in French Polynesia they don't even know the name of, but he's just like living in Europe, just like making beer and living his best life. And I was like, damn dude, get it.
Yeah, that sounds like fun,
right? But
I think that Lana Del Rey would be very proud of you for your choice of trashy beer, because our queen sis does sing a lot about PBR.
She does. You know what? And that is literally the only justification I need in my life. If Lana Del Rey would approve of me, then I fucking made it.
Yeah. I'm just like, Lana's stamp of approval. Speaking of which, Liz, I know you definitely have, because you asked me if I had. Sierra, have you listened to her new song?
I have.
What do you think of it?
A&W? I love it. I think it's so cool, that whole little, like, twist that it has in the middle, where all of a sudden it, like, drops down, gets really slow and rappy, like her early stuff. I don't know. I think it's so cool. I love everything that she does. I actually have a poster of her in my living room. I was able to sneak that one past my boyfriend because it's very like artsy looking, and I don't even think he knows that it's her, but there's a poster of her in our living room.
What the fuck? I think that it reminds me a lot of her like sparkle jump rope queen days, like when she used to always sing about like being in a trailer park and whatnot. I like it. I'm excited for her album. For a second, I really was just like, side eye.
And although, when I see A&W, I think of that one weird ass restaurant that always is paired with a Long John Silver's.
Long John Silver's root beer.
Long John Silver's root beer. There was a restaurant in our tiny little town growing up, and it's a chain. I'm sure they're up and down the East Coast, but it was half a Long John Silver's and half an A&W. And I don't think I ever stepped foot in that, because that seems like the weirdest combo to me. It freaked me out. I wasn't going to go get fish at this
from a drive-thru
restaurant. Yeah, through the drive-thru that's attached to this other restaurant. Like, that weirded me out, so I never stepped foot in there.
Wait, the Long John Silver's had a... Are you sure it had a drive-thru? Because my grandma took
me... I'm pretty sure they did.
Oh, they did. And you could order from both menus in that one drive-thru.
That is funky as hell. My grandma tried to kill me.
I'm pretty sure we had the exact same thing when I was growing up in Greenwood. That's some just kind of like bunk Midwestern drive-thru place. We're like, let's just cram it all into one. Give the people hot dogs, filet of fish, root beer floats, whatever.
Give the people what they want!
So when I see A&W, I think Long John Silver's root beer.
Oh my god.
Yuck. Oh, dude. Oh my god. I've been meeting a lot of like Midwestern people lately, and they all have like the weirdest food preferences, like sliced bagels and like tacos in a Dorito, walking tacos, like tacos in a Dorito bag.
Yeah, have you never heard of this?
I have, and I think it's vile.
Oh man, we used to eat that shit up at baseball fields.
That is nasty.
You didn't have a walking taco growing up?
Why the fuck would I have a walking taco when I could sit down and eat it?
All right, fair.
Because it's the novelty of eating a full meal out of a chip bag, Brooke. It's amazing.
So would you eat it with a fork?
Yeah, or like a usually a plastic spork is the utensil that you're using.
Is it like a crunched up like taco salad in a bag?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, or you crunch it up in the bag, and then you get a second bag of chips, and then you dip and scoop on a chip, and you eat it. You eat the taco, the walking taco, on a chip.
I'm sorry. Y'all are trash. I'm not eating no fucking walking taco. That is gross.
That's We've established gross. This. We're trash. It's fine.
I'm over here, like, furrowing my brow. Y'all are gonna give me wrinkles because I'm just so confused. I'm just like...
Brooke's gonna go to her future esthetician and... She's going to ask, why did these wrinkles come on so fast? And you're going to be like, because we were talking about walking tacos.
My friends eat walking tacos.
I'm just trying to understand Midwestern food. That's all.
Yeah, it was like a whole thing. I don't know if my old coworker is listening to this, but first of all, he thought that Virginia was West Virginia. He kept saying that I was from West Virginia for like ever. And I finally had to clock him on it. I was like, I'm not from West Virginia.
That happens to me so often living out here.
Because they think that they think that West Virginia is the Virginia. They don't think there's a Virginia.
They're two separate things, correct?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And so many people out here think I'm from West Virginia. And I'm like, okay, I was an hour and a half away from the border, but I am not from West Virginia.
No.
I will correct that.
No, and I've been to West Virginia enough times to say that I take full offense because you drive through that bumhole and it's just straight Trump signs for miles. Literally, I think I talked about this on the podcast. When I went and got Mia, I was driving over the mountain in West Virginia and the fog was clearing. It was an October day. It was Halloween. It was an October day. It was beautiful. Everything, like the leaves were gorgeous. All of a sudden, out of fucking nowhere, out of the fog, like a friggin' scary movie, a huge Trump sign just emerges from the fog. And I just fucking floored it. I was in an Audi and I floored it. I was like, I gotta get out of here. Like, I'm going to get murdered. Please, dear God, no. Like, it was so country. And then I pulled up in the parking lot to get Mia, and a Trump rally was going on.
Wow.
People were in their shit-kicking boots. I was like, this is taking me back to high school and being called a half-breed. I need to go home.
Yeah. That's, and also, every other billboard, I remember when I moved to Denver and I was driving out here, it was like every other billboard was either for a strip club, and then the next one would be like an anti-abortion.
Yeah.
Strip club, anti-abortion. Strip, like the whole way.
Oh, man.
It's like, did you go to the strip club and get someone, like, I don't know, whatever. It just...
They just need somewhere to channel all of their unexpressed sexual frustrations because they're all trying to be abstinent, so they go to the strip clubs and hate themselves, right. And then the cycle just repeats over and over.
It's wild. I don't know. The Midwest is a little bit... It's like it's not on brand for me, I don't... So, yeah. But anyways... Sierra, catch us up with your life. What the hell have you been up to? What have you been doing since the last time we got like a real life update? It was when your book came out.
Yeah, and where are you currently? Because I think each time we've talked to you, have you been in a different state?
I have both times. I forget where I was the first time we talked. Maybe I was I in Oregon by that time, or was I in the van?
You were in
You were in
Oregon.
Oregon. Okay, so no, I've been here pretty well. I'm still in Portland. That's where I was the last time we talked, and that's actually what I was just thinking of because we were talking about the Midwest, which is where I'm from originally. I'm from Indiana. And then I moved around a lot. I was in the van, and now I've been in Oregon for I think I want to say like 2 years now. Two or maybe three, since now this is our third time talking. I've been here every time. But it's been good. I am figuring out a little bit more of Portland. I moved here from New Orleans, so I was used to, very kind of southern hospitality and everyone just having a good time and being super friendly. And it's really not like that up here in the Pacific Northwest, depending on who you ask. I have lots of friends who've moved here from maybe like Southern California or other places, and they're like, "Oh, everyone here's super nice." But coming from like Louisiana, I'm just no one wants to talk to me as much as I want to talk to them up here, which is fine because there are no we have significantly less Trump signs and bad name calling in that. We do have a shit ton of strip clubs though, for some reason still. The highest per capita in the States for some reason. I don't know why.
You know what? I bet it is. It's probably because the suicide rate in like Oregon and like Washington, like all those like up like northwestern states that get like the cloudy weather and the depression rate is like ex exponentially higher. So like, who wants to go see some titties?
That makes sense. And yeah, there is a lot more like indoor things to do here because it is so rainy in the winter. Like there's lots of arcade bars and lots of old movie theaters and lots of other stuff to do inside too, including strip clubs. So there's lots of that up here. But this winter actually hasn't been super rainy, which is nice. I mean, it's snowing today like a shit ton, which is kind of crazy. But I guess the weather is crazy everywhere in the world right now. But I'm good to answer your question in a very long-winded way. I've been doing lots of traveling, I think, probably since the last time we talked. Yeah, I still have my book, and I've been working just more honestly on writing for my website, The Local Mystic, and putting out lots of YouTube videos like yoga classes and old workshops and full moon circles that I've done. I used to have kind of like a pay-gated membership where I kept all that stuff, and that was really fun for a long time, and we were able to kind of build a nice close-knit little community there. But I realized that I really fucking hate selling things and marketing things. I love like creating and writing and holding sessions and teaching yoga classes, and but then the element of like trying to convince people to like sign up for my membership to do all these things with me, just I hated doing, so I never did it. So now I'm just kind of focusing on, like creating more than anything. And so I just like write for my blog and I put videos on my YouTube channel and all that stuff is free. And so, and the kind of the bigger stuff that I do have, like my books and my workbooks and more intensive courses, those are on my website if people want to, dive in and learn a little bit more. But I'm just focusing on like creating and like doing stuff that I like and just putting it out there right now more than anything. And that's been going really, really good.
That's awesome. That's I think like as a creative who when you like start your own business or you want to be an entrepreneur of some kind, that is like the hardest part of it for us is because we just want to create. And I realized when I was in art school, I was like, I mean, luckily for me, the school closed down and took all my credits with it. But yeah, but while I was there, I was like, I can teach myself the art stuff. I like have done it forever. Not that I like know everything, but I like don't know the business side. I don't know how to market. I don't know how to sell. And I had a sales job, my first job when I moved out here. And I hated it. It gave me the worst anxiety. Like I had quotas to hit and everything.
Oh,
But
God.
yeah, that that was terrible. But then, you know, like, but that was for somebody else's business that I didn't like. So now when it like comes to me and myself, it's a little different. Cause yeah, you're like, you're selling yourself now when you have your own business. And that's like a really weird concept, you know?
It is. Yeah. And just in the whole concept of like, I don't know, just selling stuff in general, there's a way to be really genuine with it. And I still do sales, but now it's more like I'll work like local concerts and stuff. And I'll either be like a VIP host or like merch, then is when I'm like selling stuff. But that's different to me, because it's like people are already there. Like they're probably going to want something. They're supporting the artist, you know, and you're just kind of making a sales experience that's probably already going to happen. You're just making that as happy as you can. But with the other stuff, it's like, they're like, oh, you have to go research and find people, find leads, find people that might be interested, and then convince them that they need your thing. And that just like felt so like weird to me. And like, I love what I do. And I do believe that, you know, meditation and yoga and sort of ritual practices can help a lot of people. But there was just something about the whole like tracking people down and trying to convince them that this is what they needed that just like was super not fun for me. And so I just always never did it. And I always hated it when I did do it, and just felt kind of like weird. I was like, you know, I just want to like write and like film fun videos because this is what I like to do. So I just
doing it. cold sales are nerve-wracking. Like
there's so much anxiety around it. I was a recruiter for a sales company, but I had quotas of like bringing in X amount of people for interviews, and I got commission off of how many people I could bring in for interviews, which that felt gross to me. Like, okay, my cat is dragging a toy around. I am so sorry. That is being picked up.
I don't think it did. You're good. Let that cat play.
Okay. All right. I'm going to give it back to him. Here you go. But there were a couple times that sales reps like quit or didn't show up. And so my boss would like send me into the field to cover their shift. And I was selling bed sheets inside of a grocery store. Oh, and God. So I was selling a product that nobody came to the grocery store for. And it felt just like I am, and they were really shitty sheets. they weren't even nice bed sheets. And I had to convince people who are just peacefully doing their grocery shopping, you know, I had to bother them and try and get them to get these bed sheets. And weirdly enough, I was actually really good at it. Like I sold a lot of sheets, but I hated it. So, it was not good. I was strangely good at it, but I didn't like that I was good at getting people to buy things they didn't need.
Yeah. Part of me wished them for the longest time that I could just be like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio in The Wolf of Wall Street, just be like, here, I'm selling, here's the pen and stuff. But I could never do it. I was just wanted to talk to people and make friends. So, and now there's so much other avenues on the internet to, you know, do stuff now. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to put everything on YouTube. I'm just going to put everything on my blog. Sure. Now there's ads on my website, which there weren't before, but I was like, you know what? I feel like people would just rather have a couple ads on the side then, you know,
yeah, dude,
get sold to and stuff. Like,
who gives a shit? Literally, I'm on your website right now, and like every website that's profitable has some type of ad bar. Like, the fuck? Don't ever apologize for your ads, bitch.
I feel like we are, our generation has, like, you know, we grew up, you know, getting to see YouTube start and grow. And it was like a little weird for people when they first started getting monetized and they were doing ads on YouTube, and some people didn't like it, but now like we all get it, you know. Mm-hmm. I get to watch a free video, I get to watch free content, and the way that you can provide that is through ad revenue, and that's great. I love that.
Yeah, and honestly, now more people are seeing my stuff than before, which obviously, right? Because now you don't have to pay for it. But, you know, I make the main thing that I'll put on my YouTube channel is I'll do yoga classes for the witchy holidays, like the full moons or the solstices and equinoxes and stuff. And I had had my YouTube channel for like a couple years before. I did a couple things here and there, but you get, you know, like whatever, 20, 30 views because I never did anything with it. But I started doing these like witchy yoga videos and I didn't really do much to promote them. And there's like hundreds of people that are coming and they're like, oh, I'm so happy that this is here. And I've been looking for something like this and thank you, blah, blah. And so now it's like you actually get to prioritize connection and education and community because you're just putting out there. You're like, I just like to do this. And there's probably other weirdos out there that want to do a fucking yin yoga flow for the new moon and hoo-ha. So let's just all do it together. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's great. I love that. I'm kind of at a similar-ish position with my business where, like, I'm selling myself. I'm selling my services. Luckily, like, I have my part-time job that makes it so that I'm not stressing out about, you know, getting X amount of clients or whatever. I can let it slowly grow at its own pace and... You know what? If somebody wants my services, that's great. And if they don't, that's cool too. Because when you're first starting, it's also like, okay, people, they're like, they'll ask you for a discount. Like, could you do it for this price? And you're like, ah, but I need clients. Like, nope, this is my price. And the service kind of sells itself. If you need this service, you know, I'll talk to you. And if we like each other, then we work together. And it's like, it's not, it's just, it's great not feeling super salesy. It's great that the service sells itself. The right people who want it come to it, receive it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's not, I'm not like stressed out. I go to a lot of networking events because I love talking to people and meeting people. And I've been very lucky with my networking events where I like usually leave with work or with a new client after like almost every single networking event I've been to.
Oh yeah.
So I love going, but yeah, I'm not there like, oh my God, if I don't leave with a client today, I'm going to be fucked or, you know, that it, yeah. At least for me, there is just no way that I would be able to make something work if I was under that amount of stress. Mm-hmm. And then it would feel like less genuine too, you know, like you, it just, yeah, it's an icky feeling, but it's like something, it's like this hump you have to get over. Cause like you have to somehow make money. Right. And it's like, yeah, this balance. It's a really weird line.
It is. Cause I do agree. I felt too, when it was my only source of income was myself, there was this air of like desperation almost around it and like scarcity. Cause it's like, oh, this is the only thing that I have. And I've kind of have done something similar now. I've gone back to where now I freelance, right, for other people too. So it's not just myself, you know, selling myself that pays my bills. So now I get work from other people too, which also took a lot of stress off of it. Because yeah, I feel like when you have such high expectations on your art and your creative offerings in that way, it kind of like smothers them a little bit. All of a sudden you put so much pressure on them and then they can't just be fun and open for you anymore. You have all these expectations and you, in the back of your head, you're like, oh, well, I have to do this because I have to pay my rent and I have to make, you know, groceries or whatever. And then it doesn't have the same kind of heart that it did before when you were able to do it. Because as a creative, you need that openness, right, to make stuff that really resonates with people and is really good. And if you're super stressed out and anxious all the time, it just kind of, I feel like it cuts you off from that openness. So I don't know, but it is hard. So at the same time, if yeah. you do want to be successful by yourself, there has to be some element, you know, of kind of reaching out to people and finding people in that way. So I don't know. Yeah, it's a hard thing to balance. And I'm still even realizing it because like I said, I have the free stuff that's on my blog and my YouTube channel, but I'll have still like workbooks and a few classes that are, you know, paid. And so I'm still like sending those out to my email people and be like, hey, yeah, I've given you all this stuff for free. Now here's this other thing. Maybe it's a little bit more but it costs some money if you want. So there's still elements where I'm still doing it and still feel kind of weird about it, but it's finding that balance. And now I'm not coming at it from a desperation point. Now it's now it's just kind of a natural evolution where it's like I've grown and I've shared as much as I can. And now, you know, here's this opportunity. If you do want to learn more, if you do want to elevate, you can kind of go a little bit deeper. So I think, I don't know, having maybe that progression and taking some of the pressure off has been super helpful for me anyway. But
and also something that I have spent, like, I don't know, the past 4 years, and then especially in the past 2 years, is healing from my deficit mindset or my lack of mindset, because that's how I grew up. There was never enough money. There was never enough food. There was never enough. And it took a long time to, like, I had to rewire my brain practically about my viewpoint on money and my viewpoint on work and my viewpoint on my time. And so starting your own business, being your own boss, whatever it is, it, like, kind of for a little bit, it put me back there, because I was like, yeah, it felt like desperation sometimes. And it's like, this is what I have tried so long to get rid of and to not feel this way. And I don't want to go back to feeling like that. So it was a very complicated and kind of long process of just consistently being aware of my thoughts. And, you know, when I would think a certain thing, you know, setting that thought aside, I am not the thinker. And it is hard. It is a complicated stew.
It is. Yeah. I was going to ask, what some of the practices were that you done? 'Cause that's something I still struggle with a lot. Same, you know, to you, Liz. It's kind of was bred into me from lots of different angles, and I still find myself doing it today. You know, I probably am in a position where I don't have to order the fucking $2 PBRs everywhere I go, but I'm still in my head doing it because I'm like, well, I gotta save money, and I don't mind them. But, you know, I'm still in that mindset of like, oh, I constantly have to be like saving and get the cheapest thing as possible. Not all the time, but I've noticed that, yeah, that thought is still kind of in the back of my head somewhere, that I constantly have to be saving and worrying for what I don't fucking know, but it's somewhere in my head that I have to be saving for some reason.
Yeah, it's almost I don't know, that would probably be a good episode. I feel like I could talk forever about that, and I would have to like think long and hard about some of the things that I did to help with that. But it was mostly like, it was a lot of thought work. It was a lot of being aware of my thoughts and how I was thinking, you know, when I would think about anything related to money, and I have like major money anxiety. It's just, it took a long time, and man, I would have to think about that. That would be a good episode, because it is, it's complicated. It's like,
it should be. And it is. And that is, like, I would say that that's witchy in a way, because you're using your mind and your thoughts to ultimately change your reality. 'Cause I mean, it goes along with, having that abundance mindset and attracting things, because they do show that, you know, the more that you put emphasis on stress and lack, you're just drawing more stress and lack into yourself. But at the same time, I'm not the person to just like blindly trust things, you know? So it's like then too, finding that balance between being trustful and open, but then also, you know, being smart. 'Cause if you're just blindly trustful, you're like, oh, the universe is going to provide, fuck it, kegs every night. Like, you're probably not going to end up in an okay position. But, you know, that balance of trust and, I don't know, awareness too is really, I don't know. It's interesting. Y'all should do an episode on that. I would listen.
Yeah, that's that it is. It, I would say 90% of it was like thought and energy work. Mm-hmm. You know, like, because I could, even I mean, I did make a major career shift. I started my own business. I started working part-time, doing something I really loved. So I made a lot of changes. But even if I hadn't done that, I could still go now. I could still go do any job. And but now I have like this rewired thought process. And so like now I could take that thought and energy work and I could do it anywhere, doing any job. Obviously some jobs I would be happier to do than others, but yeah, it was all just like, you know what? I'm gonna change my reality today because I feel like and
Yes.
I believed in Jesus for like 17 years and he's not real. So, you know what? I can decide that I'm not gonna have a lack mindset and it's gonna be real.
I think the moment where I stopped, like, I didn't really have any business like trying to lose my money anxiety because I really wasn't making very much at age 23. But like, I started reading like Think and Grow Rich and like The Power of Now and like The Power of the Subconscious Mind, like books like that. And then I also got like really into what's his face, like. Somebody, what the fuck is their name? A was it like Abraham Hicks or some shit?
Yeah, that's like the
I
name. It's like a collective person that has to deal with manifestation and stuff.
yeah, like I got really heavy into that, but then I like feel like I went overboard with it because like I made my whole YouTube channel about it and then I got really bored with it and I was like, you know what? Like all I need to take from this is that the universe is going to provide for me, as long as I am doing what I can to take care of myself and actively like repeating to myself, this is going to be okay. You're gonna figure it out. Things are gonna work out. Like, just, you know, not like you guys were saying, like, not blindly being like, fuck it, I'm gonna just go get a keg because the universe provides. But like, being like, okay, you know what? Like, I'm gonna, fuck, I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a good example of something that I would have wanted to
Oh.
buy at age 23, but like I can't.
Well, it's not an example of something you wanted to buy, but and this doesn't happen, this has never happened to me. Actually, it has. But there was a time where you literally manifested a check in the mail that was the exact payment of your fucking rent.
Oh my God, that was insane. I was thinking about that the other day,
What?
Liz. Literally, when Liz helped me move into this apartment, summer before last, we were packing the last of my shit from my old house to come over here, and I looked at her and I was like, "Oh my God, the first is in 2 days, and I only have enough money to cover my old house rent." I was like, "Fuck!" And I
Yeah.
just got my brain immediately. I was like.
Because it was like, you know, when you're moving and sometimes you can't plan it out and you have to pay like rent two places, which fucking
Yeah,
hurts.
like my brain literally went, it's okay. Like, I'll figure it out. Like, I just need to, like, I can figure it out once I sit down. Like, let's just get my stuff over there. Like, I just need a second to chill. And in my head, I'm thinking, like, I guess I can, like, maybe take some money out of my, you know, pandemic checks that I never spent. Like, I just put it in a savings account. So in my head, I was like, okay, I can pay for it. It's just gonna suck to take it out of my savings. Fucking no lie. 2 seconds later, I walk outside and I got my mail and I started screaming. I was like, Liz, a check just came in the mail for
And then she ripped it in half.
$1,300. I almost ripped it in half. We had to tape it a little
We
bit.
had to tape it. She was so excited that that had just happened that she almost ripped the shit in half.
Oh my God. What was it? Was it like some publisher's clearinghouse or was it something you'd been expecting?
No, it was my taxes were filed incorrectly and I overpaid by like $1,500.
$1,300.
Yeah.
Oh my
Yeah,
God. She wasn't
somebody.
even, you weren't even expecting it because you didn't know you overpaid,
Yeah,
right?
somebody at H&R Block like screwed my taxes up bad. And I also like the company that I used to work for, every tax season. Like, all of us would get screwed on our taxes. It's actually happening to everybody right now. Like, we have, like, this whole group chat of everyone who was either fired or, like quit. And everyone's getting fucked on their returns. Like, they're all owing thousands of dollars because, I guess, the HR and, like, finance department, the two people that run it, excuse me, the one person that runs it, department is a joke, they mess up people's taxes. Like, they've messed up, like, a bunch of my old coworkers' addresses. Like, one of my coworkers was paying taxes for two states that she wasn't living in. Like, oh, I paid way too much in federal and I got all that money back. And it was just, like, the most insane feel. Like, I mean, the universe knew that I needed a solid. Like, yeah. And everything was just falling into place. I mean, I was so happy. Like, I was seeing Liz for the first time in literal years, moving into a new apartment, like, starting a whole new life. Like, of course I was attracting this fucking money. Like, damn, this money just was like, I got you, baby. You ain't gonna be destitute.
So all that to say is that you shouldn't just expect your rent payment to show up in the mailbox, but shit can happen.
And but yeah, you have to be like open to it, you know. If you're just like, oh, I'm fucked, there's no way I'm gonna get this, like, then you're not gonna see those opportunities, you know. Not saying that then you wouldn't have gotten your tax money back, because you probably would have gotten it back regardless, but mm-hmm. You can't see a whole lot of opportunities sometimes if you're just so closed-minded and you don't think that anything's ever gonna work out, then you're not open to other possibilities and stuff.
Yeah like, I think
mine, that happened to me on a kind of a big scale. Mine was $8,000 is what I needed, because, and this is like a sweet sour story, which
hold on. Is this your ex and the money that showed up?
Well, so my ex totaled my car. And it was an accident that was his fault. And I found out through that accident that his license was suspended in a different state.
Bomb mentality.
His license was suspended in a different state. He didn't tell me about it. So my insurance, which I was paying for him to be on my insurance, didn't cover anything because he didn't have a license. So I was left with no car. It was totaled. I had just gotten that car too. And the damages of the car he hit, which was $8,000. And so I got a call from their lawyer because it was my car. So they called me one day. I was working and he was unemployed and I was busting my ass at work. And I get this call. And they're like, yeah, you need to pay $8,000 or we're going to sue you. And I was like, I am barely making it because I had to take care of me plus this freaking child of a man.
No scrubs.
Yep. So I was not in an abundance mindset. So this was the universe being like, this is like, you need a break because you have been through it. I was not attracting abundance at all. This was just like the universe had my back. And I got a text from my grandma like 2 days later. And she was like, I just found some random account that was your mom's. So it's like left to you. And it was $8,000.
Oh my God.
So the bittersweet of that is I didn't get sued, but I had to spend $8,000 of my money on this guy. And I also had to buy myself a new car.
What's he doing? He still owes you that money.
I've totaled it up. I have totaled it up. If I were to send this man an invoice for the everything, he probably owes me over $20,000.
Oh yeah.
So the lesson in that one is don't date bums.
Yeah, for real.
And don't marry them.
Don't date them, don't marry them, don't entertain them, don't even put them on the roster.
No. But, you know, even though I, looking back on that circumstance, if that Liz were Liz now, I wouldn't have paid for his shit. You know, I would be like, hit the road, buddy. I am tired of this. At the time, I was a different person, and but everything was covered. I didn't get sued, and I randomly got $8,000 2 days after I found out I was going to be sued if I didn't pay $8,000.
Dude, your mom was up in heaven fucking like, there ain't no way in hell.
Yeah, she's like, my daughter's not getting saddled with this shit. Here you go, baby. I got you.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Oh my gosh, that's so wild.
Yeah, so.
Both of you have crazy stories like that. That's so crazy.
It's, you know, it's one of those things where I'm like, this would never happen. Even me. Like, and I believe in this shit, right? I'm like, I don't know if that would ever happen to me. Fuck around and find out. My brother is Gen Z, by the way, and he told me never to say that ever again. He was like, you are so embarrassing. That is so cringe. Don't ever say that, Elizabeth.
Oh my God. What did they
say?
I was born first. Shut up.
Dude, my sister's Gen Z. Her everything is sexy. Like, food is sexy. Clothes are sexy. Cars are sexy. The weather is sexy. Everything's sexy. And I was like, yeah, we sound dumb.
We used to say that in, like, sixth grade. Like, what are you talking about? We sound old. You're the one over here regressing.
Oh, my God.
Like, I think that's just so, I don't know. My Gen Z friends make me feel so old. Like, I don't even want to quote TikTok anything in front of them because I feel like that's like a millennial genre that like Gen Zers make fun of us for. Like, oh my God, millennials are so annoying with their TikTok, blah, blah, blah. Bitch, we made the internet. So like, I don't want to like hear it out of your mouth. Honestly, I was there when dial-up was still a thing. So, like, you have had it easy. Go away.
We had to go through the AIM, bitch. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had to set our fucking AIM statuses.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I
you
would
guys remember what friend. Your, like, songs were? You had, like, a sound, right? Your AIM sound that would happen every time it got sent. Do y'all remember what yours were?
I don't like, remember
ding.
What I
did. Ding.
Mine, I for some reason I remember mine was the it was a bit of that Evanescence song that Bring Me to Life, but it was like just the dude part. I would send it and it would go wake me up, and then that was my song.
That is so funny. I remember sending my friends this was before I had a cell phone. I think I probably used my mom's phone to text my friends, and she didn't have unlimited text messages, right? So I would be like, okay, mom, I just used one text message. And I would, in the text message, be like, don't text me back. Hop on AIM. And
exactly. Oh, my God. I remember that.
Because I didn't want to, I couldn't use up all my mom's, like, you know, she had like 87 texts a month or something. I couldn't use them all.
Do you know that they're like recreating MySpace now for like the Gen Zers? I forget what they call it now, but it's like the same. It's like the same exact look and everything of MySpace. It's like super retro, and they're like, they're about it. My sister sent it to me. I forget what it's called, but.
Huh. Oh my God, I'm looking it up. Bringing back MySpace for Gen Z. What is this?
What was it? I'm not going to be able to find it. She sent it to me so long ago, but I think I want to say it still had the word space in it somewhere, or face or something. I don't fucking know. There's so many things now. I don't even have TikTok. Is how how just stuck and stubborn I am. I'm like, it's already too much for me. I can't take on anything else. I'm just, I'm tapping out. I'm over it.
Yeah. I don't think I could honestly deal with anything else on top of TikTok. I think TikTok is like my brain limit. I don't think the next thing, like, Be Real, I can't get behind it. I think it's so boring. It bugs me. The whole purpose of the app is to
keep you in the moment. But the thing that pisses me off is it notifies you and tells you when to post. I don't like that.
Yeah, and you can only post. Can't you only post when it notifies you?
Yeah, I think so.
I downloaded it and I have two friends on there. Brooke is one of them. And I've probably posted like 3 times. I also just haven't gotten into it.
I deleted it.
I feel like I would just miss the notification all the time. Because I always have my notifications turned off anyway. And so yeah. I would just miss it. I would come back like 4 hours later and then be like, oh, sorry, you missed your chance. And I'm like, oh, bummer.
Yeah. No, bummer. See if I fucking care.
What is like one of my themes of the year. So my word is abundance, because I'm like attracting abundance this year. But also my other word is over it. And actually the painting, that painting on the wall right there, I did. It was a canvas that I had carried around with me for, I kid you not, 13 years. And no matter what I painted on it, I hated it. And like I've painted who knows how many paintings, and for whatever reason, that canvas, it's got a million paintings underneath of it. And so finally I was like, you know what? I'm fucking over carrying this shit around half done or with an ugly painting on it. And the bottom layer, you definitely can't see it from this angle, but the bottom layer has text and it's giant text. It just says over it, all over it.
I love that.
So I'm attracting abundance and I'm over shit.
Those are two really great energies. One's open and one's like, no, but I'm open, but I'm discerning at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're open, but we're selective.
Yeah.
100%.
I think that's an evolution of the abundance mindset, though, honestly, because in two, once you realize that you don't have to just take in everything, you can be more selective with your energy, then yeah, I mean, that's just further alignment. And I think that's really great. That was a big part of my New Year's whatever intentions thing was, I think, like that idea of just like intentional alignment. Is like, I don't want to just be like spread out everywhere doing everything all the time, and I still struggle with it, but now it's like I have a vision and I'm sticking to my vision, and if something shiny comes in along the way, I still maybe get distracted for like a little bit, but I'm like, no, it's like that's just a distraction. I'm just doing like the stuff that I know makes me feel good and that I like to do, and just quit getting distracted by all the other BS. Over it.
Yeah. Fucking over it. Stupid, petty drama, strange men shouting at me on the train. I'm over it. You're not going to get nice Liz anymore. I'm over being nice Liz. I'll be nice Liz to you if you're nice to me. But I was just over feeling like the world was steamrolling over me. And and like it's been a process being someone who could like stand up for myself and, you know, like speak my opinions if I had an opinion on something, and I would just care a lot about what everybody thought about every little thing. Like I'm someone who part of my anxiety that has gone away since taking SSRIs is rethinking every conversation I've ever had and thinking, oh my God, I can't believe I said that or whatever. Like I'm just overall, it's exhausting. I'm exhausted. I'm tired. I only have space for things I want. You know, I don't have space for anything else. I don't. I am over it.
Yeah. And we're allowed to do that, you know. These days, you have so many other options for stuff. Yeah, you know, like you can work from wherever the hell you want, if you want, you know, we have lots of options, which I think is really great, because then we can, you know, it gives us more room and more space to grow and do the things that we do want to do. So fuck it.
Yeah.
Speaking of over it, can I please tell you guys about this fucking mouse problem?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so to catch you up, Sierra, my friend who lived next door to me, she left her apartment recently because she had a mouse problem. She lives in the building next door. It's not owned by the same property manager, but she had like a really shitty landlord and he wouldn't do anything about like pest control, rodent extermination, whatever. So she moved to a different apartment. And, like, this is my theory because I've never had this problem. I think that when she left, all of the mice ran in different directions and have started invading other people's apartments. And basically...
Well, because they did get an exterminator, right? Or someone to, like...
I don't have any idea if they actually... I don't know. They probably didn't because he's garbage. But his name's fucking Roland. But, he's an old man with a ton of... Anyway, never mind. I'm not going to say that on the podcast. I'll save that for you later. But anyway, so the other night, Jackson comes in the bedroom and he's like, I've got something to tell you and you're not going to be happy about it. And I'm thinking, like, he ate something of mine. He ate chocolate. He ate something I was saving. I was like, what is it? He's like, I just went to the kitchen and I saw a mouse run under the refrigerator. And I'm like, I'm sorry? Like, what? Because my apartment complex sprays every month for, like, pests and stuff. And, like, they're, like, on top of their shit. And I've never seen a rodent in here. And I go in the kitchen and, like, I don't see anything. But, like, I believe what he saw. Couple days later, I go in the kitchen and I scream, holy fucking shit, because I see a baby mouse fly under the fridge and then fly back out under the dishwasher.
Oh, no.
I started screaming and I ran. Normally, I'm not this big of a, like, pussy ass little bitch, but, like, if I go a few months and I, like, don't see a rodent, like, if I go a few months, I don't see a mouse, I freak out when I do see one, like, even, like, outside, like, I get, like, not desensitized, the opposite of desensitized. I become overly sensitive to these rats or cockroaches or, like, whatever. Anyway, I ran, and I was very, like, disgusted. I let the cats run into the kitchen. Normally, at night, I will keep the cats sequestered in my office by themselves because I don't want them tearing up my furniture at night. I let those little shits out. And I said, go be who you truly are. Aria, my white cat, ran in there. And in 2 seconds flat, she came out and she had a little mouse in her mouth. And she looked at me and I was like, holy shit. She just did the damn thing. Like, she just got the mouse. Like, she killed it. So, we get the, you know, immediately when a cat, like, picks up a mouse, they, like, pinch it, and I think it, like, probably, if it's not dead, it's, like, at least stunned to the point where, like, you can go pick it up with a bag and, like, toss it. We get rid of it. 30 minutes later, Mia's freaking out in the kitchen, like, scratching and scratching and scratching at the freaking refrigerator. And I go in there and another fucking mouse comes out and it's a baby. And she's freaking out. She's trying to pick it up with her mouth, like, just panicking. I throw Aria in there thinking she's going to, like, do her thing. She walks out. It was like she was all moused out for the night. She wasn't, like, interested anymore. I'm like, you're worthless. Like, you can't just, like, quit on the job. Like, what? She doesn't do anything. So the plan was that night, we're going to cover up the furniture so the cats can't tear anything up because I'm very attached to my furniture and I am that owner. Yes, I love my pets, but I love my furniture too. Anyways, we cover up the furniture and we let the cats just do whatever they want all night while we go to bed. I wake up, no mouse, but the cats are sitting in the kitchen and they're staring intently at the refrigerator. So I'm, like, walking in there, like, wearing heels because I'll be damned if a rat runs over my foot. I make my coffee. I'm chilling. I'm working on my computer. All of a sudden, Mia starts freaking out, digging at her dog bed, trying to get behind my TV stand, trying to get behind my bookshelf. She's getting crazy. I pull her bed out. Baby mouse starts flying around. Mia gets up on her hind legs and pounces on it. Immediately killed it. Immediately dead. Murdered. Killed. Threw that out. And then today, this was the big thing. Liz, you haven't heard this one. This is the one. Sierra, there is this orange cat that has been astray in this part of the city forever. Everyone knows him. I don't know how he hasn't gotten hit by a car. His name's Oz, and he's orange. You know orange cats are crazy.
Yeah.
So, last night, Jackson woke me up at 4 a.m. because he said that the animals were going crazy trying to catch another mouse in the kitchen. And he was, like, trying to catch it with them because he, you know, where there's a one or two babies, there's got to be dozens more. So, like, until the front office handles this, like, we're just going to have to keep doing what we're doing with, like, the repellent and the ultrasonic plugins and shit, which apparently aren't doing their job. But he comes in the bedroom and he's, like, trying to get the cats to go after this mouse. They're not worth a damn. This morning, Mia's freaking out, looking at my other bookcase. Clearly there's something back there, but it's not until like a few hours ago. I walked out in the living room and I see Mia and Peep and Aria. There is a baby mouse in the middle of all three of them. No one is making a move except Mia. She is literally like tossing it with her nose, and she's like trying to bite it, she's stepping on it, and it's like fighting for its life at this point. And like, now I'm like desensitized to it. Now when I see one, I just get fucking mad. I just get mad. At first I was squeamish, now I'm just mad. I took my shoe off and I literally
oh no,
I took my shoe off and it was limping around, like, kind of fucking scurrying as a mouse does. Like, he had just enough energy to, like, get away from me. And I'm like, son of a bitch. I start cussing, and I took my shoe, and I'm just, like, smacking at it with my shoe. I open the front door, and I'm, like, smacking it. I said, get the fuck out of my house, you piece of shit. Get out! Like, bless their souls. I know that they're hungry and they're cold. I feel for them. They're actually, like, pretty cute when they're not in your house. But I said, get the fuck out. I knocked this mouse off of my front step. This mouse had 2 seconds before all of a sudden Oz popped out of nowhere, picked it up in his mouth, and ran off with it.
This poor baby mouse. He's like, I just want to die. Just like, someone put me out of my misery.
Oh, God.
It has been a week.
Oh no.
I called the front office and they told me that tomorrow the pest control people are coming and that they have my unit number and they're going to come into my actual unit and try to figure out where the entry spot is.
What sounds like the kitchen is a perpetrator.
It's definitely the kitchen. One, there is a decent size, like, mice can get in a hole that's the size of, like, an eraser. Like, it could be anywhere, but, like, the back door has the tiniest gap. They could definitely be coming in that way. Or they just replaced, like, the countertops in my kitchen that I was, like, literally complaining about because of how much of a mess they left.
And they put in uglier ones. Didn't you say that? Like, didn't they put in uglier shit?
They put in, like, an ugly overhead light. We were just complaining about overhead lighting earlier. Like, ew. But I think that it has something to do with that. I feel like a hole was made somewhere in the wall because that's when the issue started. And I'm not dirty. Like, I don't leave food on the floor. Like, I've even had to start picking the animals' food up and putting it in the refrigerator because now I'm scared that the mice are going to eat their food.
Yeah, they will.
They will.
At least they're coming tomorrow.
And if they don't do something about it, like, if this isn't handled by the next, like, 2 weeks, we're calling the health department because these inner city like property owners don't give a shit. They do not care.
No, the rise of corporate landlords.
Yeah, they don't care. So we're gonna see what happens with that. I mean, thankfully I have Mia. She's literally brilliant.
That I would never expect Mia to even be able to like kill a fly. Like she's so little. She's so little. How can she do anything? Look at her.
Look at these feet. These are the feet of a killer, Bella. These are the feet of a killer.
As she just snuggles up next to your face, she's like, yeah, mom, I'm the best killer in the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Literally, like, I thought, you know, Arya's gotten two of them, but Mia's
gotten them. You gotta brush those teethers before you kiss her on the mouth.
She has had her toothbrush for the night. She's had a greenie, don't worry.
Okay.
But I ain't one of those people who let her be licking me on the mouth. That shit's nasty. You take that elsewhere. Like, I love you, but no.
Look at her.
But yeah, so far it's Mia like 3. I didn't kiss my dog on the mouth. You hear Jackson?
No.
He said that's not true. You kiss your dog on the mouth all the time.
That you kiss her on the nose, but you don't let her, like, you know.
I kiss her, exactly. I kiss her on the nose, but I'm not, like, there are some people who open their mouth and, like, let their dog lick the inside of their teeth.
Oh, okay, no. That's too much.
I saw a girl do that when I was younger, and she let her dog lick a fudge round out of her mouth, like those little Debbie kids.
Okay, first of all, a fudge round...
Not good
for your dog.
No.
That could kill your dog.
Secondly, ew.
And a dog licking that out of your mouth could probably kill you. You could probably get E. coli or pink eye in your mouth or something.
Pink eye in your mouth?
Pink mouth.
Pink mouth.
Yeah. So there's that. But Mia has so far gotten like 3 mice. Arya's gotten 2. So honestly, I just think dogs are the superior breed. I'm sorry, Liz.
Well, I agree in your circumstance right now. That I would, yeah, if I had little mice and none of my cats
were doing their job as
yeah, I would think it would have been the cats, but
yeah, like you live here rent free. Can you just like help out a little?
I mean, Pete was totally useless, completely.
Oh, Peep is like a cloud that you have tamed to live in your apartment. Like, Peep is like this ethereal cloud. Peep can't do anything.
He is for literally aesthetics only. Like, that cat does nothing but add to the vibe. That's all he does.
Yeah.
That's been my general consensus on cats. Usually, I had cats when I was younger, but not a whole lot. I've always had dogs. But yeah, usually cats, they're just kind of there, and they're not usually, like, all up in your business like dogs are. But that's why I like dogs. It's like, I need that immediate attention and affection, and I need something that allows me to just, like, grab its face and, like, shove my face in its face and not get mad at me, and cats do not allow me that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I love my cats, but I really feel like at heart, I'm definitely like a weenie dog girl.
This one will let me.
Oh, see that? I have met, though, also some really sweet cats that are like into it a little bit. Oh.
What if he just skippity-papped you in the face right after you said that he was like so sweet?
I don't think Stetson has never popped me. Like, he is the gentlest little baby soul. And are you awake?
I don't understand how Bingley was so temperamental. Like, he would beat the fuck out of anyone that wasn't Liz, but he would also like beat her up sometimes too.
Yeah, dude, cats can be crazy.
Yeah.
And like, every cat you've had since has been so calm. Bingley was Bingley was like 8 cats energy put into one.
Yeah. Stetson and Garth are both just like so sweet. I mean, Stetson is a little bit of like a crackhead cat. You know, he'll, oh, did you hear it? No. That was so sweet, baby. but you know, he's only 6 months old, so he still gets his, you know, he gets the crazy zoomies where he is running on the ceiling, doing crazy shit. But they're both like sweet little baby angels. And neither of them have ever popped me or bitten me. The only things that happen sometimes is they will run over top of me in the middle of the night. They're like playing, and I will wake up with scratches. I actually have one on my hand right now that's healing. I have woken up with a scratch on my forehead. I have gotten them on my face because they are just running around in the middle of the night, and they will run right over top of me and they don't give a fuck. But they haven't, they have never popped me. They've never bitten me. They've never intentionally scratched me. They're just like little sweet cupcake babies.
They're just making you feel comfortable. They're waiting to attack.
Right. Yeah. They're waiting until they're both well settled in.
Exactly.
And they're going to eat me.
Haven't you seen the paranormal movies? That's how it starts. You just wake up with little bruises and shit, and they're just like weakening you slowly. And then they wait until you're weak enough to like attack.
Yeah.
Might be true.
Yep. I fully believe it. Oh, God. I feel like as we've continued recording, I've just sunk lower and lower into my bed.
You have.
I've just gotten.
It happens. You have a really comfortable bed.
I do. And you
like
do.
Like, we finish, it's just going to be your bun peeking up from over the covers. Like, your face is going to be totally gone.
Like, when I come to see Brooke, I think we spend 80% of our time together in your bed talking and cuddling.
Yeah, talking, and like you put your cold ass feet on me and it's the worst. Yeah. Liz and I are just at that level now where if she puts her feet on me, I literally yell at her as if like we're sisters. I'm just like, get your fucking
get your popsicle feet off of me.
Like, there's no like, get your cold feet off me. Like, it's full blown Elizabeth Thurston. Get your
yeah.
I also suffer from the popsicle feet, Liz. I'm there with you.
I don't know what to do about it. It's like a lifelong struggle, and if my feet are cold, my hands are usually cold and kind of sweaty. Like, I don't know what it is. I put socks on, everything's good. But if I have cold feet, I have like cold, sweaty hands.
Yeah. I'll be like cold, but then like, cold, but like a little bit sweaty. And I'm like, what is this?
Yeah.
Fucking popsicle feet is the cutest thing I've ever heard in my life.
They're icy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm literally going to go stick my feet on Jackson and be like, I have popsicle feet.
I'm sure he'll love it.
I mean, too bad if he doesn't, because I don't know what to tell you. I finally got the heels of my feet smooth for the first time in my life, and I feel like a sexy woman. So I've been putting my feet on him instead of hiding my feet. And I feel like that is how that's the mark of a mature relationship, because now I can have my socks off.
Yeah, yeah, you gotta show those bad boys off.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm just, a sock.
I was gonna say a foot.
Okay.
All right. Our Ostara egg for this episode is going to be feet. There are many options. If you search your emojis and you type in feet, you could do little animal paw prints. You could do a human paw print. You could do a single foot. So once again, we'll just confuse anybody who finds our page on Instagram. go fill the comments up with feet.
That's gonna be so bizarre to people. I love it.
I love that our comments are just full of like these crazy emojis, and anybody who finds our Instagram before they find our podcast is probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Listen, a girly knows what's good for engagement, so a girly will request it every time.
Yeah. Well, if anyone's made it this far, God bless you. Thank you for just listening to us talk about mice and feet and money and just random shit. So thank you for being on this journey with us. You are here in spirit, and we love you.
Yeah, what she said. I think the episode title should be Mice, Feet, and Money.
I love that.
There you go.
I love it.
That's what happens when it was like Galentine was like the very, very loose direction because we're 2 weeks late, but it's fine.
Yeah, my original direction was for us to like, you know, tap into something like divine feminine, like yoga for self-love or like something for that, but it's fucking 2 weeks later, dude. Like, I'm sorry, we just needed like a good catch-up sesh. Like
that, and you know what? Who is to say that mice, feet, and money aren't part of the divine feminine?
You know what, bitch? You are right. You are so right.
Mice, feet, and money. I love it.
It sounds like a rap band. Not a rap band. It sounds
like a rap band?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Feet, mice, and money. Feet, mice, and money. Oh, feet, mice, and money. Mm. Mm.
Oh, damn. Somebody do a beatbox.
Oh, God, I'm off of that. Okay. You go, bro. She got the beat. Feet, mice, and money. What? Feet, mice, and money. Feet, mice, and money.
Oh, my God. We need a band t-shirt.
Right? We haven't made new merch in forever. We need mice, feet, mice, and money on a...
Oh man. Well, thank you everybody for joining us on this episode. Apologies it didn't come out during Valentine's Day week, but you know what? I think we ended up with some good content. we had a great time getting to see and talk to Sierra again. So that's all that really matters.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I agree. I agree. And we will have all of Sierra's information, including her website and her adorable, cute-ass fucking Instagram that I just creep on all the time because you just have the happiest little smile and it just makes me so happy. And her, she posts regularly in the Witchful Thinking Coven group. She posts her blogs and her YouTube videos in there. So if you're in there, keep an eye out because homegirl's important. Homegirl has like admin access, so she can post whatever she wants.
Oh man, I didn't know that. I feel so special. Yeah, I'm so happy that you guys started this group. It is the witchy group that I always wanted but could never do because Facebook groups are just so hard to manage. So thank you guys for doing that. And and yeah, usually whenever I make a new yoga class or video, I'll throw it up there because I just want throw it up because I just want to see other people do witchy shit with me too. So yeah, check it all out.
And I forget what is next on the agenda for us, Liz, but
we will check it out. I am still going to have internet access. I didn't mention this before, but I will be in Mexico tomorrow. So That's where my vacation is. And I'll still have internet access to record from Mexico.
Well, don't be like hard pressed to like make time for that. I don't want you to feel like you need to, you know, so. I mean,
no, do it and do it tipsy from the beach is what you should do.
Yes, I want there to be waves in the background.
Oh my God. Wait, maybe we should do that.
I think we should.
Maybe we should just, I'll go get some wine and then we can just have like a little drunk Mexico sesh.
Yes.
I'll change my background to be the beach. Good stuff. Good stuff, guys. Okay. We'll talk to you next week. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Bye.